السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome back to Sahaba Profiles. We continue the discussion on the life of Anas bin Malik رضي الله عنه, the personal assistant, the attendant of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In our last discussion, we spoke about the great rapport that both his parents had with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would come to their home, how they would invite the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, how they would send gifts for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and how on that one occasion when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came to their home and performed salah because he was fasting and could not partake of meals, the mother seized the moment and said, make dua for your attendant, and he made that dua that, oh Allah, grant him wealth and grant him children and bless him therein. And how Anas bin Malik رضي الله عنه became the wealthiest amongst the Ansar, and how he had over 100 in his own lifetime. He saw over 100 from his own offspring, children and grandchildren, and how he lived a very long life and a very dignified life. Also, one or two incidents with regards how his mother nurtured him and instilled within him the right values. One day he came home late, and Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned that he would serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for lengthy periods of time. He would go immediately after Fajr, and he would continue to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the afternoon. Then he would return for a little while, and then after Asr he would return to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he would stay there till evening. So he spent the major portion of his day, but nonetheless, one day he came home a little later than usual, and his mother asked him, where you went? So he said, no, I needed to go and do something for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his mother said, what did you go and do for the Nabi of Allah? He said, I can't tell you. It's the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now imagine if it was our children who came to us and said, no, I did something for my ustad, or I did something for my teacher, and you ask what? They say, no, it's the teacher's secret. It's a private thing. We would say, hey, tell me. I'm your father. I'm your mother. But not Umm Sulaim. She said, no, oh Anas, if that's the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you mustn't tell anybody. You are right. Don't tell anybody and don't even tell me. Don't tell anybody and don't even tell me, even though I am your mother. Don't tell me. And this is how you teach the right values to children. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu lived a very, very long life. After Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave him a position to collect zakah. Then after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu gave him a position to be the governor of Basra. And then he moved to Basra and he lived there for a very long time. And he passed away in that region as well. It is mentioned by Ishaq bin Abdullah that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu and his brother were present at the time of the siege on the forts of Harik in Iraq. And the enemies had used a very interesting technique and tactic. They used to place nets on blazing chains, which they would throw upon the Muslims, and whichever Muslim would get ensnared in it, they would pull him towards towards them. That's how they would capture Muslims. They put blazing chains that are on fire, with nets, and then they throw the nets onto the Muslim army, and whoever gets caught, they drag that person towards them. And nobody can take the person out from under the net because the chains are on fire. They are blazing hot. And they say that they managed to trap Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and they managed to trap him under the net. And somebody called out to his brother Bara bin Malik and said, look, your brother is trapped, and the enemy are grabbing him and taking them towards them. Bara bin Malik went and he grabbed the blazing hot chain with his bare hands, and he did not let go until he was able to cut the net from the chain and release his brother Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. And when he looked down and at his hand, there was nothing left but bone. The fire had eaten away at all of the flesh. All of the flesh had been burnt. But he showed this enthusiasm in saving his brother and coming to the rescue of his brother being the attendant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu in his own life had shown miraculous feats on occasions. His gardener once told him that, look, there's no rain. You know, your crops are not getting enough rain. And I fear that there's going to be a loss, you know, in terms of your harvest. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, look, are there any clouds anywhere? He said, no, no sign of rain whatsoever. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu went into the house and he performed salah. And he came out and he asked his gardener, is there still any sign of cloud? He said, no. He did this about 3 or 4 times until the gardener said, now I see a small cloud. And then by the fifth time when he came out, the gardener told him it's raining. But the amazing thing is, it's raining only over your crops. It's raining only over the portion that you have planted. It's not raining on the crops of your neighbors. So this was a miracle that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu manifested in terms of his dedication to salah. And he was very particular about salah. when others would perform salah and they would not perform it correctly, he would immediately rebuke them and he would tell them that you did not perform your salah correctly. This is not how I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam perform his salah. I've previously mentioned that Allah had blessed him in his wealth to such an extent that he became the wealthiest of all the Ansar. His children numbered 80, excluding his grandchildren. 80 children, excluding grandchildren. And when he passed away, he left behind a family of more than 120 people, consisting of his children and his grandchildren. And it is mentioned that he had a very close bond with his children, a very close bond. He loved his children deeply. Actually, on one occasion when Hajjaj was rude to him, he gave a very broad reply, where it was not specific that he was hitting back at Hajjaj. And someone told him that, why didn't you tell him outright? He said, the only thing that stopped me from telling him outright was, I fear that he must not oppress my children. You know, because anybody who dared to be forthright with Hajjaj would be put to the sword. He was a tyrant. And they mentioned that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he loved his children deeply and he would spend the majority of his time at home. Why? Because he taught each of his children himself. He would teach them himself. And many of his children became imams of hadith, and they were held in very high regard by their peers amongst the tabi'in. And he had many students as well, and he would tell his students that you are more beloved to me than my children, except those children of mine who are equal to you in knowledge. Those children of mine who are not equal to you in knowledge, then I love you more than I love them, because knowledge is the criteria. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he showed that love as he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam showing him, and he personally taught and he personally trained his children. The Ansar were very good at archery, and they say that he would train his children himself. He would make them shoot, and then he would correct them and he would show them how to shoot. So not only did he train his children in the religious sciences, but you know, in other sciences as well. He taught them archery, he taught them many other skills of life. So in short, what he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he implemented those teachings and those methodologies with his children as well. Inshallah, we will continue the discussion from here onwards. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the great characteristics and qualities of these sahaba and companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.